Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is your host, Ann Revelle Petcher, on Wilmington Business Radio on a gorgeous day with Joan Locke in the producer's seat. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Ann. Hello, Mayor. Hello, Julie.
Hello.
Hello. We have a great show today. We have Mayor Bill Saffo in the studio with us to talk to us a little bit about the transportation bond. Welcome.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you back. And we also have Julie Wilsey. Julie is the Deputy Airport Director for the time being for ILM, our lovely ILM, which we all love so much. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, one of the reasons that I moved to Wilmington has to do with ILM. It's a great airport.
Thank you. It is a great place to work, and we have a great group of people.
Yeah. I think it's actually one of the things that is on a lot of people's checklists when they are looking for where they want to live from a lifestyle choice, is to have a great and easy use. I mean, I moved here from Atlanta, so it's a little bit of a different airport here than Atlanta.
And we do say that the airport, we have a connection to the world, one stop to the world, anywhere you need to go to do business, to do pleasure, to travel. So we take our job very seriously.
So tell us about all the different things that ILM provides for us.
Sure. We're known mostly for our commercial service, getting people on the airplanes with American and Delta. Mm-hmm. But we also have general aviation, where people can learn to fly.
Oh,
to
really?
Be a pilot. Yes, ma'am.
So you don't have to go to a private airport for that.
No, ma'am. And then we also have our business park that we're growing so that we can have businesses out at the airport. The VA is one of those businesses.
Oh,
so,
sure, yeah.
So we think we do those three services.
Is there anyone at the business park outside of VA at this point?
We have 84 Lumber.
Oh, yes. Wow, that's
and
fabulous.
Wilmington Business Development is located on the airport.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That's fabulous. So do you foresee that growing?
Absolutely.
Great.
We have spent some money on infrastructure. We have roads. We have water and sewer. We're shovel ready for whomever wants to build.
That's fabulous. What kinds of businesses do you think actually benefit from being out by the airport?
Well, of course, we would love to have aviation-related, some corporate flight departments or some corporate hangars for large businesses who may have their own fleet to move their executives. But we're also trying to attract some Class A development where you'd have more of a corporate campus, so you could have an area and maybe you have a need to travel from time to time. So what better place to have your office than right close to the airport?
Right.
So you're just a couple of minutes from the aircraft.
Yeah, I think that sounds fabulous. That's great. Well, tell us about your role. You've had a really fun year, Julie. Tell us about your role there at the airport.
Well, I feel very fortunate. I've been at Wilmington International Airport for 16 years as the facilities engineer and then as the deputy director. And I was lucky enough in May to be chosen to be the director starting in January of 2015.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am looking forward to leading a great team of aviation professionals.
What is the role of the director? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I am obviously the CEO. Report to the Airport Authority, which is a board of seven as of last night. We've got two new members.
Okay, that's great.
So, and then, of course, I have a staff of 46, and we do everything from the security, the public safety, firefighting, aircraft fire and rescue, and all of the maintenance and custodial work that goes with that to make sure that our airport is safe and secure 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
That's great. Do you also negotiate with airlines about having service here?
Yes. One of the big roles of the airport director is called air service development.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do go out, we meet with our current carriers, we look for other carriers. And as a matter of fact, last week I was in Chicago at a conference called World Routes. And it's a type of speed dating for the airlines. And we put in a list, and we were accepted by a list. And so we sat down for 20 minutes at a time with eight different airlines.
Wow.
And we presented our demographics, our business case, and the destinations and places that we would like to fly. And so it's a jam-packed conference. We get a lot done. We see a lot of airlines, and we meet a lot of people that we can talk to throughout the year.
How do you decide on those places? I mean, do you get a lot of feedback from the community, or do you just look at where everybody's flying anyway?
We certainly we have an aviation consultant. The one we have now is called Mead & Hunt, and they provide us with the statistics from through the DOT databases. So we track where our top 10 origin and destinations are. We track our average fares. We track our loads, all types of data. And that's how we go, because we want to make a business sense. We want the airlines to be successful, mm-hmm. and we want to bring a carrier or service to Wilmington that we can sustain.
Is most of the travel business travel, or is that mostly?
We're about, we used to be about 70-30. We're leaning more towards 65-35. But yeah, we're predominantly a business market. Companies like PPD, GE, sure. they travel just about every day of the, every week of the year. Mm-hmm. And that helps keep our airlines profitable.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to ask you the good and the bad. So what's the favorite part of the, about the job? And then tell us what maybe one of your bigger challenges is right now.
Well, the best part of the job is that people love the airport. And yeah. regardless of
people
where
do
I
love
go,
our airport.
We get great compliments about employees, about the hospitality. And so it's I'm just so proud. And it's not me that does it. It's those people who are on the ground taking care of the facilities, talking to the public every day. And mm-hmm. so that's it's an awesome responsibility. And I feel very fortunate to be able to do that.
It's great to have a good image, isn't it?
It's wonderful.
It's worth gold. It's golden. So what's the big challenge that you're facing?
Well, the challenge, of course, is air service development. Our industry has changed a lot over the years, and the airlines are merging and contracting. They're doing something called capacity discipline, which means they are shrinking the number of seats available because supply and demand needs to meet so they can get the price that they need to be profitable. Mm-hmm. And they've had some rough years. So they're finally starting to get out of the red and into the black. And so the 50-seat regional jets are going away, and they're replacing them with larger aircraft, which
Excellent.
Means we'll probably we get dual-class service, but we may get fewer frequencies to Atlanta or to Charlotte. Okay. So that really is the challenge, is what we call not air service development, but really air service retention, because we want to make sure that we have good connections to all of the major business hubs in the international gateways. Philadelphia is very important. LaGuardia is important.
Yeah.
Delta and Atlanta and Charlotte, they are very important locations because from there you can literally reach the world.
Right. I understand that there used to be flights actually into Raleigh. Is that ever something that's ever discussed again?
For those
of us who drive to Raleigh every day.
We had a carrier back in 2001 called Midway, and that was they were based in Raleigh, and they flew a couple times a day from Wilmington to Raleigh. They have unfortunately went out of business shortly after September 11th, 2001.
Right.
And again, it's just a really, really tough business to get into.
Right.
So
it sure is. So I've been pre-chosen for flight pre-check recently. So does Wilmington have this program?
Yes, ma'am. We have a dedicated pre-check lane, which is a fabulous benefit for travelers.
It's a fabulous thing that only major frequent flyers used to have access to things like that. So it's nice to be able to get into it. Do we have a lot of people who have taken advantage of this pre-checked?
We do, and you don't necessarily have to be selected. You can also sign up for it. If you go to the TSA's website, which is www.tsa.gov, you can sign up for a pre-check. And the good thing is you can get an appointment right here in Wilmington to get your pre-check clearance.
Well,
that's down on Carolina Beach Road, down by the port.
Okay.
So for $85, you can get into pre-check and then be able to use the pre-check lane, which means you don't have to take your shoes off, you don't have to take your jacket off, you don't have to take your laptop out. So it really is an expedited screening process.
Mm-hmm. That's really neat. So what other kinds of programs do you offer there? You have a canine program?
We have a comfort canine program that's relatively new, where we bring in therapy dogs to walk around the building and interact with the customers. And that helps relieve the stress. Also helps, you just don't know what kind of day someone's having. And air travel can be somewhat stressful if you're worried about being late or if you're going to make it on time. So the comfort canines really do help relax people. And we've really had a good time with that program.
That's great. Are these just people's dogs and they volunteer?
No, they're actually therapy dogs.
They're therapy dogs.
And that was an idea brought back by one of our employees, Brian Rostholder, from a actual airport conference. So it's something that they do across the country.
Oh, that's great. And then we have a couple restaurants now?
We have one provider, Tailwinds, but they actually have three different offerings.
Okay.
There's a full-service kitchen, which is a sit-down restaurant, and they now have craft beers that are made here in Wilmington.
Isn't that great? Oh, really?
As of 2 weeks ago.
Excellent. Congratulations. That's
then they have a bar area with sandwiches, and then they have a more of a coffee type area where they can warm sandwiches. So we have three different offerings at the airport to eat.
That's great. And the info desk is pretty cool.
We have a great information desk staffed by volunteers who love Wilmington and are so proud to represent this community. And they go out and they interact with the customers. They can tell when someone is confused or maybe a little bit out of place. They will react with them. They greet them at the gate. Where else do you land in an airport and you see somebody in a vest that says, "Welcome to Wilmington. We're glad you're here."
Yeah, no, I mean, we have that reputation. I mean, when my husband's sister flew in from Long Island the other day, she's like, "Oh, somebody walked right up to me and said hello. They welcomed me to Wilmington."
and it is a throwback to what they called the red coats with Delta Airlines. They used to do that years and years ago. But we have a group of about 70 volunteers who do that each and every week.
You know, you can never beat customer service.
Yeah, nope.
I know.
And just a smile and a hello can really change the whole tenor of a business trip, especially, I'll tell you. So it's October. We're starting to think about the holidays. And I've never had a really hard time dealing with too many people at our airport at ILM, but I've certainly had a lot of experiences with that. I'm sure you have a lot of tips that you could share with us about things that people need to think about in terms of holiday travel.
Sure. And again, if you plan to travel for the holidays and you want to be in the PreCheck program, now would be a time to enroll in PreCheck.
Does that take?
I did it and it took less than a month. Okay. And again, you can get an appointment right here in Wilmington. That is just such a great benefit. But you have to remember, if you're going to carry some packages, they can't be wrapped. They need to be unwrapped. Or if you would rather wrap them, then maybe you should ship them ahead via ground. Also, we always want to make sure people arrive at the airport early, at least 90 minutes. And with some of the traffic issues, and depending on the time of the day, we want to make sure people allow plenty of time on the surface roads so they can get to the airport 90 minutes in advance, because you don't want to have an unpleasant experience or not be able to check your bag. So again, always arrive early.
Good points. So if somebody is going to fly and they have a choice of, you know, what's your campaign? Don't take I-40 or... I love that I-40
campaign. How much
campaign
is your time worth?
Exactly,
your experience?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So other kinds of things do they need to think about when they're considering, you know, boy, it's probably $100 cheaper to fly out of Raleigh. Should I make that 2.5-hour drive and save myself $100? What kinds of things do you think that people are thinking about when they're making that decision?
Well, you have to remember that our parking lot is just steps from the door. I mean, the parking lot is close. You don't have to spend 2 hours on I-40 driving. Plus, if you're going to go, you're going to go stay the night before, or you're going to stay when you get back. It could be late when you get into Raleigh. And then you'll have a 2-hour drive to come home. And that it is. It's a long, tough drive. So we like to say, you know, by the time you add in gas, a meal, a hotel overnight, and your inconvenience of driving on I-40, how much is it worth?
Yeah.
So check the prices, and you might be surprised that it's worth flying out of your local airport.
Think about it big picture. And I guess the last question that I really have for you today is about funding. We're starting to think about funding because we're starting to think about bond issues. We've got an election coming up here. And one of the things that people are curious about is how do you get paid? How do all of those employees at the airport get paid?
Sure. We have about a $7.4 million operating budget each year. But we are self-sufficient. We generate our own revenue from landing fees, rents at the airport, parking revenue, those kind of things. So we're a landlord, and we like to say that we don't get any subsidization from the county.
Okay.
You know, we are a self-sustaining budget, and our capital improvement funds normally do come from the FAA in the terms of airport improvement grants.
Okay.
But for the most part, we make every penny on the airport that we spend.
If somebody has a question for you, or if they just want to give you some kudos for helping us to have such a great airport, how would they get in touch with you, and how do they learn more about the airport in general?
Sure. We have our website is www.flyilm.com. We have an info at earmark where you can send us a question through there, or you can send them directly to me at jwilsey@flyilm.com.
And Wilsey is WILSEY.
That's correct.
Great. Thank you, Julie, for your time.
Thank you.
This is very informative. We're going to take to the earth here for a minute. We're going to do some landing. We're going to talk with Mayor Saffo today about the upcoming transportation bond. Mayor Saffo, tell us a little bit about why we have a bond.
Well, we have $238 million in transportation needs. And there's something that we've been talking about internally. One of the things that we do every 2 to 3 years is do a citizen survey. Every time I've ever been, or since I've been on city council, citizen survey, the number one thing that always comes to the top is transportation initiatives, transportation issues, transportation wants. The city, as well as the region, is not getting the money that they used to get from the federal government or even from the state government. There is a new transportation plan. We used to have what they call an equity formula. That formula has been changed based on congestion management. There are some projects within the city and the county that do rank high. There's some projects that will never rank high. Mm-hmm. So that formula changed dramatically, where the eastern part of the state and the western part of the state were getting predominantly a little bit more money, or a lot more money in some cases. That today has changed. The vast majority of that money today, 75% of the North Carolina Department of Transportation funds are going to three distinct areas: Mecklenburg County, Wake County, and Durham-Chapel Hill. And so we've got to take the bull by the horns. We have to take into consideration that this community, just within the incorporated city limits, not including the county, the unincorporated areas of the county, but within the city limits, within 20 years, we'll have about 57,000 additional citizens in there. Yeah. So, you know, at times it's already uncomfortable in some parts of our community, especially along College and Oleander, which is going to be a pretty major project to get done, but that predominantly will be more state-initiated.
Is that something that falls in under the bond?
It does not fall into the bond. But what we did, we created a committee of Councilmember O'Grady, Councilmember Sheridan, and Councilmember Padgett to evaluate all of the projects that have been identified in the city's long-term transportation initiatives over the last couple of years, and they came up with $55 million worth of projects that we hope that the community will support. Those projects are broken down into $35 million for transportation, in particular for to increase capacity on roadways, safety concerns, access management issues, roundabouts, and then $20 million for bike ped. When we are undertaking a comprehensive land use study of the entire city, kind of a roadmap of what the community will look like in the next 20 to 30 years that the city planning staff is undertaking. When we have been out there talking to the neighborhoods, and we've interviewed over 1,000 people throughout the city of Wilmington, the one thing that the neighborhoods are telling us is we want more bike and pedestrian-friendly neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Sidewalks. The Cross City Trail, of course, has become a big hit, where people can get off the road and ride their bikes or walk or jog in a safe environment. Taking into consideration that Wilmington also ranks number one or number two almost every single year, and I don't know why, of being one of the most dangerous cities to drive in and one of the most dangerous cities to ride a bike or walk in. We've had, since 2007, over 26 pedestrians that have been killed either riding a bike or walking in our community, within the incorporated city limits, not including 830 some injuries. So it is also a public safety issue, and it's something that the community is asking for. You know, I'm hearing from two different distinct groups here. I've got the business folks that are telling me we need more road capacity, more lane miles, so they can build developments. And then on the other side of the equation, I have the neighborhoods that are telling me I need a more safe environment for my kids and myself to enjoy the outdoors.
Well, tell us for a second, what kinds of specific things could people expect to find happening as a result of this?
Well, number one, Eastwood Road, which is a heavily traveled road. It's an area that's got a lot of development with Autumn Hall, with Mayfair, with people going down Ricer Beach, is a road that we've got to do something about. And one of the projects that we're talking about with streets is having a medium from basically Cardinal Drive all the way to about Military Cutoff. That way it will give us access management. It would protect, you know, instead of whatever we call that, eliminating that suicide lane.
Right.
And have specific areas where people can cross over. Mm-hmm. We did that many, many years ago in Oleander Drive, and the traffic flows pretty good, pretty well on that road. Another place we're talking about is for road improvements or streetscape improvements to some of our major thoroughfares. A lot of our citizens have told us over and over again, we need to do something about the entranceways to the community, to our city. So Wooster and Dawson coming off the Memorial Bridge are very important, yeah. How they look and their safety.
And how they look and their safety, exactly.
And the city undertook a project with the North Carolina Department of Transportation several years ago to improve the look on Dawson from 3rd Street up to 5th Avenue. Mm-hmm. And what we like to do is continue that all the way up to 17th, 16th Street.
Great.
Same on Wooster Street. Another major project that we're talking about is the improvement of Carolina Beach Road from about Burnett Boulevard all the way down to Front Street. That's a corridor of the community that's kind of been ignored over the last, for many, many years. And what we have seen from an economic development point of view is every time we've made those significant streetscape improvements, the area starts to transform.
Right.
More businesses want to relocate there, mm-hmm. or locate there. Businesses want to improve their look there. We saw the same thing happen on 3rd Street with what we were able to do with the last transportation bond that was passed in 2006 and has really transformed 3rd Street, and the development is taking place on 3rd Street and one of the areas that people really compliment us on. In addition to, we want to continue with our trail system, our cross-city trail. We've got some major trails and off-road trails that we're talking about on Masonboro Loop Road from Navajo Trail all the way to Pine Grove Road.
Wow.
We have another one along Greenville Loop Road, which would be a 4.1 mile trail, which will basically take you from literally Pine Grove all the way over into Greenville Avenue, cross over to Oleander Drive, and connect with the Bike to Sea trail that we have there in that area, in the Seagate area, which will allow people to be able to get out there and ride their bikes, and then try to tie all those trail systems together.
Cool.
It includes a tremendous amount of sidewalk improvements. We have a lot of sidewalks. If you notice, if you walk around town, you walk about a couple of blocks, and all of a sudden the sidewalk goes away.
Gone, right?
So, you know, connecting all those missing pieces of sidewalk that we need to get done, and there's a litany of sidewalk projects that are out there. There's a second entrance into Love Grove. We had a significant trail derailment about a year ago that could have been catastrophic. The ports are getting busier. There's going to be more rail service going into the ports.
And more trucks coming in and out of the ports.
Exactly. And those people have been talking about a second entrance for many years. The train derailment, we just got lucky. It could have been a major disaster. And so there's a second entrance going into what they call One Tree Hill Way off of 23rd Street that will connect to the Love Grove neighborhood that will allow people to access into downtown Wilmington. There's some money in there for some public transportation initiatives that we've got that we're talking about.
In other words, wave buses.
Wave buses. And, you know, public transportation also plays a significant role. So we tried to give something to everybody in the community because we also understand that, you know, when people are voting for Bond, they want to know what it's in it for their part of Wilmington. So we tried to cover all of bases, and we feel that we've come up with a fairly comprehensive and fair bond, and hopefully something that would touch everybody's life in the community.
How much is this going to affect in terms of the taxpayer's annual bill?
It would be a 2-cent increase in taxes to cover the entire bond. But taken into consideration, and when we passed the last bond in May of 2006,
okay,
that was a $14 million transportation bond. In that particular case, because of natural growth, we didn't have to raise it in particular to pay for that bond.
Mm-hmm.
There was other things that came up with police and fire and pain, what have you. So we hope that, you know, this bond will probably take about 7 to 10 years to implement fully.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of projects that are involved here. So we hope there would be enough natural growth within the tax base to cover it. But if you had to do it all at one time, it would be a 2-cent increase, which is about $3.20 on an average $200,000 home. But we feel that, and we hope that the community will support that, because the alternative is we do nothing,
mm-hmm.
or we do it piecemeal and we wait a long time. And if we're going to wait for the state and federal government to try to help us on a lot of these major road initiatives, we're going to be waiting a long time. And I don't believe that cities or even counties today can wait any longer We have a growing population, a growing region. We have a very popular community here, in a region itself, and we just can't wait anymore. Right. And, you know, we talked about transportation, the second crossing of the bridge, some 7 years ago, and it got caught into a lot of political turmoil. And today, it's very unlikely we're going to ever get that bridge or anytime soon. And people are stuck in gridlock, and they're very upset about it. Mm-hmm. And they don't, you know, we can either move forward or end up being stuck in traffic. And then everybody saying, why didn't they do something about it?
Exactly. Well, it's great that you're looking out. You're planning now and initiating things so that it will continue to take us into the future.
Right. Give everybody a little civics lesson for us. Why a bond? How does a bond work?
Well, a bond, the people of the community vote for it. I mean, you put it before the community, you share with them the information, you tell them what it's going to cost, you tell them the projects that are included. It's a large expenditure. That's why we're asking the citizens to look at it and hopefully support it. It's their decision.
Right.
We can go the other route and piecemeal it and spend $1 million or $2 million here and there and make very incremental and small improvements along the way, but it's going to take years. Mm-hmm. And the amount of growth that our community is going to see just in the next 20 years and within the city of Wilmington is 57,000 additional people. Yeah. Think about that. So we've got, you know, this bond also involves realignment of some roads at Pine Grove and Oleander and McMillan Drive. It involves roundabouts that we've never seen before to just try to move traffic through the community much more efficiently around Pine Grove Road and Holly Tree. It really helps to get traffic moving through our community in a much more efficient and effective way. And it takes into consideration not only vehicular traffic, but also people being able to use their bikes.
Sure.
We have seen just with the Cross City Trail what has happened with people being able to use the trail just to get down to the beaches, where people are riding their bikes
Absolutely.
To Wrightsville Beach along the trail, and the amount of kids that are using the trail around the university, and the university's public policy of not allowing kids to be able to have a parking pass onto the university, thereby using the public transportation system, which, is, by the way, is the fastest growing segment of the public transportation system, is the Seahawk Shuttle, and being able to take all those cars off the road. Could you imagine if those kids that were within 1 mile of the
goodness,
university being
goodness.
Able to use their cars?
Right.
It takes a tremendous amount of vehicular traffic off the road. So some of those public policies will do good. But we need it now.
Right.
We just can't wait. And if we wait, who knows what the future will look like? We waited, and you see what has happened over in Brunswick County between Brunswick County and New Hanover County.
Right.
It's a mess.
Mm-hmm. How do you think having two bonds that are so critically important, this and the education bond, how's that going to flip? How's that going to fly?
Well, we know people, you know, don't like to pay higher taxes. But this is an investment. This is an investment in the community. This is an investment in the future. It's an investment in the quality of life and the quality of place. And the people have got to weigh those decisions and take a look at it and say, is this the right thing to do or not? We hope that we can make a case and that we've made a case that they're both very well needed. I mean, the education of our kids is critical to the future of not only our area and our state, but the entire country.
Right.
And then the transportation network throughout this community is important to the quality of life that we've all come to want and enjoy. So we hope that they support it. It does come with a cost, but so does everything in life.
Right.
And if you want good roads and if you want good education, you've got to pay for it. There's no free lunch.
Sure.
And we hope that we've made that case. The other thing that I also want to reiterate that I forgot to talk about too for the downtown area is the finishing up of Front Street from Chestnut to Red Cross.
Right.
The city, the community college, as well as PPD have made a significant investment in the downtown area, probably over $200 million combined between the public and the private sector. Finishing that part of Front Street, I think, is critically important to the economic health and vitality, continued vitality of what we're seeing in downtown Wilmington, which is changing dramatically.
And we're starting to be able to see, for those people who are having a hard time picturing all the things, you can drive down the road and see nice little boards explaining, here's a place where we're going to actually see an improvement if the bond passes, right? So right here on front at Chestnut, I believe, there's a really nice little piece that explains what would happen here, and I think I've seen some in other parts of town. So that's a great solution. So thank you, and thanks to the team at City Hall for doing that. If people have questions about the bond, I'm sure that there's just a boatload of information available on some website somewhere.
It is on the city website, so you can go to the city website and take a look at all of the different projects that the bond includes. In addition to, I just also want to share with the listeners that 3 years ago, the city council voted for a 3-cent tax increase for a $45 million resurfacing of our streets. You know, for a couple of years there, because of the significant recession that we were in, we held off on a lot of maintenance of our streets, and it came back to bite us because the streets were in really bad shape. So in addition to that, we've got $45 million, of which we've gone through 3 years of resurfacing a lot of significant streets in our community. That is also on our website, so citizens that may not have a direct impact with this bond can take a look at different streets within the community that are going to be repaired and have been identified, and that money has specifically been earmarked for those improvements. It's not put into the general fund to be used for other things. It's specifically used for that $45 million worth of resurfacing that we have promised the citizens that we would do.
That's great.
Can I interject one thing?
Certainly.
That I wanted to say, Mayor? Speaking about quality of life, it's also important that if we do this, it will entice more economic development here, because their employees and the way they woo people to their firm and make decisions to relocate or grow and stay here is because of all of this. That's going to take place.
You're right on, Joan, and I've seen it not only with Randall Parkway. I've seen what it was able to do with Front Street, with the two blocks that we did on Front Street, what we've been able to do on Third Street, the improvements that we've made to the traffic light system that was under an old DOS program. The state and the city did a partnership, which was with the old bond of 2006, that was able to synchronize all the stoplights through the community with 64 traffic models as opposed to 16. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the other part of this is also looking for opportunities to partner with the state of North Carolina when need be to be able to do some joint projects like we did with the synchronization of the stoplights and with the improvements to Third Street, which was a joint project between the city and the state of North Carolina, and which the city then took over Third Street and finished that project out. So, you know, we're going to also look for opportunities there. But the transportation needs in our community are not shrinking. They're only increasing, and the cost to make those improvements continue to increase. So if we could get to it now, it will help us in the long run, will help us in the future in how we look and feel.
Great.
And there's still a couple meetings coming up that the public can...
Yes, I believe there's a meeting tonight at City Hall to share that information. But we've also we're going throughout the community, going throughout the neighborhoods to explain to the community exactly what the bond includes, what impacts it would have to a particular neighborhood, what it would look like. And then, of course, as Ann mentioned, we're putting signs out with descriptions of what... project that we're talking about in what location, so people can see those and understand what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. As long as we have Julie Wilsey still in the studio with us, tell me a little bit about how the city and the airport work together in terms of transportation, how things like economic development in the city impact actually number of people flying in and out of ILM. How do you work together?
Well, I mean, from an economic development point of view, when we're talking to companies, they want to know about our air service, and that's critically important to PPD, to a GE, to even the film industry that was bringing a lot of folks through the airport. And obviously, with economic development like tourism, I mean, it's extremely important for people to be able to fly in and out of here in a very, you know, enjoyable way. And Julie and their team over there do a phenomenal job. And I mean,
we do. We try to make sure that we put our Wilmington, we're the first and last thing you see when you come to Wilmington. So we want to make sure it starts on the right foot, and it's a great experience until you get on the plane.
And, you know, I guess Julie will share with you, just like I've heard many times, how come you can't give me a direct flight to California? You can't give me a direct flight to wherever they may be going, or Chicago, whatever the case may be. But, I mean, you know, I applaud the fact that they're always looking for opportunities to expand that service and to tie us with the outside world. And as the region grows and as the area grows, I think we'll get more direct flights, But obviously, it's always challenging in a metro market or mid-sized metro market like ours to do that. But we do a pretty daggone good job in being able to accomplish that.
Thank you. We do. We also have a customs facility. Most people don't know why are we international.
Yes, why are you international?
We have a customs facility that we constructed a brand new state-of-the-art facility in 2008. So corporate aircraft and aircraft coming to and going to and from the Caribbean or anywhere in the world, we have customs officers from the port that are stationed at the airport.
Excellent.
So if someone wanted to bring a big business in, they had an aircraft and they wanted to go from Wilmington to China or Wilmington to South Africa, they could do that right.
That's
here.
That's great.
And most citizens would be shocked at who has landed at this airport, probably on a weekly basis, monthly basis, that are probably international figures or ex-presidents or whatever the case may be, or ex-premiers or prime ministers that have landed at this airport.
That's correct. And we're really gearing up for the PGA golf tournament in 2017 because we do expect to get international aircraft for the competitors and some of the people who come to the Wells Fargo PGA event. Mm-hmm. So we've got some work to do to get ready so that we can handle those aircraft. Look at what Augusta, Georgia does every year at their airport, mm-hmm. which is smaller than ours.
Mm-hmm. Is it smaller?
It is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Think about what Moore County did just down the road this summer with the men and women's U.S. Open golf tournament.
Yeah. Well, Joan and I both want to thank everything that you guys for being on the show, but also for everything you do to make Wilmington such a great place to live. We love living
thank
and working here, and we appreciate how you help businesses and our community grow and thrive. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anne.
And
thank
I really
you,
would like to say that both of you, all of these leaders in our community, they lead with such passion. You can tell how much you like what you do.
We do.
Well, again, this is Anne Revelle-Petcher signing off with Julie Wilsey from ILM and Mayor Sappho. Until next time.